Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Students were grumbling about food. They were grumbling about their classwork and their homework. So I said, hey, I'll listen to all your criticisms in a month. But for the next month, I'm gonna ask every one of us, no grumble, be humble. Start telling the cook when he does a good job. Tell your professors when they do a good job. Thank somebody for cleaning the bathrooms. And as I look back, that was the point where the school began to turn around. And a successful mother is surrounded by a family of gratefulness.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message entitled, Three Requirements of a Successful Mother. It's a message that was given on Mother's Day some time back, but a message that is appropriate any day of the year. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was speaking of the importance of having a faith that is real. Well, here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Three Requirements of a Successful Mother.
Because when you have a faith that is real, it'll change the way you see other people. Make your faith something easy to live with. So the first two requirements is a mother that is vigilant, who knows the difference between punishment and discipline, and the importance of discipline, because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and only discipline, boop, can remove it far from him. And if you don't, it'll be bound up in their heart when they're 30, 40, and 50, and 60 years old still. And the parent knows that punishment is motivated out of anger, and it focuses on a past misdeed, whereas discipline is motivated out of love, because it focuses on future character. And that parent knows that it's not what a parent does that messes a child up as much as what a parent tolerates that will. So a mother that's vigilant and who has a faith that is real. But here's the third, and this is so important, because there's one more ingredient necessary for us to build a successful mother. Not only vigilance and a real faith, but here it is, would you write it, number three, a family that is grateful. Surrounded by a family that is grateful. Oh, look with me at Proverbs 31. Read it with me, go. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them. Yeah, I thought, wow, this Proverbs 31 woman, she's like super lady. And then I thought, no, wait a minute, there aren't really any super woman. There's no super women alive. Oh, Anna, my wife, comes really close to that. But there's really no super women. Then I thought, now wait a minute, as I read this, I thought, you know what this says? This tells me less about the woman, but it tells me a whole lot about her family. I mean, check that out. Her children rise up and bless her. And her husband says, other daughters have done nobly, but honey, you excel them all. I thought, wow, what a cool family. She's surrounded by a grateful family. That helps make a successful mom. Gratefulness is the culture that cultivates this kind of person. And then I thought, that's why she's a Proverbs 31 woman, because one of the ingredients of her life is she's surrounded with a grateful family. Because isn't it true that you always want to do more for people that are grateful? Isn't that right? I have one of my grandkids is Katie. She's 5 years old. And so I'm scooping up the poop in one of our horse stalls. And I said, Katie, come. And she calls me Papa. I said, if you help Papa clean this stall, I'll pay you a dollar. She said, okay. She knew nothing about child labor laws. So that's good. And she's scooping up this poop. Now, you have to understand this. Horses give out and leave behind 50 pounds of manure a day. So she scooped up more poop than she weighed. She scooped all of that stuff, and I'm doing it with her. And so when she was done, I pulled out a dollar. I said, all right, here. And I had a couple more stalls to do, so I kept doing it. And after a little bit, I felt this little tug on my jeans behind me. And I turned around, and she had the dollar in her hand. She said, Papa, thank you. I love you so much. And I turned around, and I said, you need $5. Let me give you $5. Here, take five. You know, it's like, isn't that true? You need a pony. I'm buying you a pony. Because you just want to be given people that are grateful so much more. That's just how it is. And I thought, that's how our families should be. People of thanksgiving. In fact, let's read what Philippians 4:6 says. Go. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, the word supplication means to ask, to request, to want, to desire. So the Bible says don't stop with just wanting and asking. Make sure that you balance it with what? Thanksgiving. You have to have an equivalency. Otherwise, you don't supplicate. You supplicate, make sure there's an equivalent of thankfulness or gratefulness. I hate grumblers. I would have made a terrible Moses because I would have killed all the people before God would have. And 2.5 years ago when I went up to Eugene to turn our college around up there, it was just, students were grumbling everywhere, just grumbling, complaining, criticizing. And they were criticizing, grumbling about food, about not enough juice. They were grumbling about their classwork and their homework. And I was in a little group and all these grumblers, and I said, stop. I said, you guys can't criticize anymore. And one of the guys pushed back and said, don't we have say in our own college? I said, yes, don't you like criticism? I said, I don't mind it at all. It helps me actually to find out what my blind spots are so I can optimize my life. I really don't mind criticizers at all because they actually help me to grow. They said, well, why are you telling us not to grumble? I said, because you haven't earned the right yet to criticize. They said, what? You have to earn that? I said, absolutely. How? I said, you have to have an equivalent amount of gratefulness in order to grumble. They said, what? I said, yeah, if you haven't been grateful or been thankful, you haven't earned the right to criticize. For example, I said, you're grumbling about the food, but what did you do when you had a good meal? When the cook made you a really good meal, did you stop and say thank you, or did you just walk out of the cafeteria? I bet you just walked out, didn't you? I said, when you sat down at that table in the cafeteria, was there cockroaches on it and ants all over the place, or did somebody come in and clean it before you sat down? Did you find out who that was and that does that every day and say thank you even once? I bet not. When you picked up that plate, was it dirty or clean? When you picked up that cup to fill it up with the juice that you grumble about, was there any leftovers in the cup? I bet it. Both of them were clean and they were washed by somebody other than you. And did you say thank you for them doing that? Or did you just use it and just take it for granted and leave a dirty dish in return? What about your professors, I said, that they spend so much time preparing their class so they can impart to you something of the wisdom or the insight of God, doing their best? Did you ever write to any of your professors this year to say thank you? I bet not. If you don't give grateful responses, you have not earned the right to give critical ones. Because you see, what happens is if you just balance your life unequally with just criticism or grumbling, I don't mind criticism. But when you don't have it balanced with an equivalent amount of gratefulness, this criticism is not criticism. You know what it becomes very quickly? If it doesn't have the balance of gratefulness, that criticism becomes cynicism. And criticism is different from cynicism. Criticism is healthy. Cynicism is criticism without any gratefulness. And that's a spirit. Criticism, when it has an equivalent amount of gratefulness, can be constructive and helpful. But criticism without any gratefulness becomes cynicism, and that's toxic, and that's what's destroying this campus. So I said, hey, let's make a deal. I'll listen to all your criticisms in a month. But for the next month, I'm going to ask every one of us, no grumble, be humble. And let's just be grateful. Just be grateful. Start telling the cook when he does a good job. Tell your professors when they do a good job. Thank somebody for cleaning the bathrooms of this place. Find out who's serving you and get off yourself and say thank you to the others that are serving you. Let's do that for a month. What do you think? And they said, okay, we'll do that. And as I look back, that was the point where the school began to turn around and change. Gratefulness. And a successful mother is surrounded by a family of what? Gratefulness. That shows gratefulness. Because you see what gratefulness does. When you start to develop a heart that's grateful, you know what it does? It washes your kitchen windows. It actually changes how you perceive and see things. In fact, you know what would be cool? Why don't we as a church, for the next month or so, let's just show gratefulness. When you go out, that you'll see volunteers that set up all those tents. You know, it didn't happen like overnight. All of a sudden, whoop, all of a sudden tents. Now you go home, whoop, they're gone. There are hundreds of men and women out there that are serving, cleaning. So when you see them, stop and say thank you. We'll just start to develop a culture of gratefulness. And I tell you, everything starts to clear up. And in our families, it'll do the same thing. I promise it'll be amazing. So what do you think for this next season? Let's just be grateful people. Practice gratefulness. What do you think? In everything, our families, our church, just practice it, practice it, practice it. Let me finish with a story. There was a man that was a cantankerous man, and he wanted to divorce his wife, and he found an equally cantankerous divorce attorney, and he said, I want to divorce my wife. She's terrible at cooking. She can't cook anything. She's terrible at house cleaning. She can't clean anything. But if she knows that I'm going to serve her papers for divorce, she's smart. That's one thing. If she knows and smells it coming, oh my goodness, she'll shelter the money. She'll change names on titles, and she'll start to pull the kids away so she can't see it coming. That's got to be like a ton of bricks hitting her out of left field. The attorney says, okay, we got to figure something out. Yeah, because she can't see it coming. Oh, the divorce attorney said, I got it. What? He said, for the next month. I mean, just make sure that she doesn't even get a hint that you're upset with her. In fact, just tell her how good her cooking is. Oh, no, he said, she's a terrible cook. No, no, I know, no. Just tell her it's good so she doesn't even know that you're going to turn the corner on her. And tell her the house, well, what a nice clean house she has. Even though it's dirty, just make sure that you just do the opposite and just tell her how good she is. Let's do it for a whole month. And then we'll levy that divorce writ on her. Oh, the husband said, I like it. The divorce guy said, yeah, me too. So the guy did exactly that for the whole next month. All he did was tell her how good she was. And a month went by, and he met with the divorce attorney, and the divorce attorney said, you want to serve her papers now? The husband said, oh, no. In this last month, she changed. She's the best wife ever. She's a good cook. She cleans the house. She's fantastic. Why would I want to divorce her now? She changed. Did she? See, gratefulness washes the kitchen windows, and it causes success again. Because you're going to see what you're looking for. If you're looking for problems, what are you going to see? Problems. Gratefulness washes the kitchen windows, and you begin to see things not in a distorted way, but through God's eyes. A mother that's vigilant. It's not always what a parent does, it's what a parent tolerates. Now remember, you have to be okay with not being a hero for a while, because you'll be a zero. But later on, they'll understand. Know the difference between punishment and discipline. Because punishment is motivated by anger and it focuses on a past misdeed, but discipline is motivated out of and focuses on future character. And get a faith that's real. I mean, a faith that bleeds out of your toenails. Because that's the proof of your faith that's so precious, more precious than gold. Not faith. It's not faith that influences people. It's the proof of our faith. Because that's what people look at. And develops a culture in which people can grow. And then let's choose to be a family that's grateful. Because that's what cultivates wonderful people. Successful moms, great dads, super children, a great church, a family that is grateful. And when you are, you start to see things more clearly than you've ever seen before. That's the kind of people we want to be. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads as we pray. Lord, thank you for this precious family called the People of New Hope. And thank you for our sisters in our great church. Women that, as mothers, have always put themselves second so that we come first. They've gone through the tough stuff so that we might gain the benefit. Thank you for each of the sisters in our church, how precious they are. And Lord, we ask that you would help us as a church family to surround everyone with gratefulness so that they will begin to be cultivated into people that will blossom in the grace of God. So we ask for a vigilance. We ask for a faith that's real. We ask that you would make us a family of gratefulness. Because really, it takes other people in our lives to help us to blossom, doesn't it, Lord? It's really other people, especially moms, that's the wind beneath our wings. And even though we don't admit it at first, they're our heroes. Because we'll see it one day, and sooner the better. So help us to be a people that's a family that pull together. But most of all, thank you today for moms, how precious they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Must have been cold there in my shadow. To never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine. You always walked a step behind.
I return to you.
Hello.
The journey was long as I searched for something new. Now I understand and know that home is in my heart. I have returned, and I understand. I will not wander again. For I understand. Hawaii, I understand.
Stand together as we conclude. Well, moms, as you go out, we have a carnation for you, so please receive one as you go out on the doors there. You'll have people handing you one. And although it's a flower, please know that it's our support, that we choose to be a people or a family of gratefulness. And let's all practice that so that we can build that equivalency in our lives. And be a people of discipline, not of punishment, of anger, but discipline, so that we can continue to see God's best take place and not tolerate the enemy sneaking in. And those of you that have prodigal children, don't give up, because all that you do in the proof of your faith will result in praise and glory and honor at the coming of the Lord Jesus. There's still time. So keep living that out, the proof of your faith, which is more precious than gold. But let's all be a people that honor moms and honor the sisters in our church. Reach out, take hold of the person's hand next to you, would you, on either side? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these whose hands we are holding. We ask your blessing on the one on our left and the one on our right. How precious they are to you. Therefore, they get to be to us. Help us to be a family of gratefulness as we surround these and develop a culture of thanksgiving. We give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you thank God with a clap offering? Let's sing together our final song.
Here I am, worship.
Here I am, God bless you. Have a great day. Give someone a hug on your way out.
Here I am.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Three Requirements of a Successful Mother by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Worshiping you. Here I am, worshiping.